Webster Voices is a service of Webster University, a truly global university. These podcasts offer you a window into the outstanding people of Webster through their thoughts on teaching, learning, and current topics in their field. Welcome to Webster Voices. I'm Webster University Student Media Coordinator Jim Singer, and we're speaking today with Webster University alumna and artist Ava Patrich. Welcome, Ava.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
My understanding is that you'll be visiting St. Louis with a gallery talk on Friday, September 15th at 3 p.m., followed by a reception in the May Gallery from 5 to 7 p.m., showing some of the work that you do.
Yes, that's right. I'll be coming to St. Louis, actually, for the second time. I was there in 2016. Showing my other body of work, which is more installation-based, at the Hunt Gallery. And I'm very pleased to come back now and actually show my main work, which is in the medium of photography, where I also started with visual arts at the May Gallery. And I'll be showing a kind of overview of my work in the medium of photography, and I'm very excited.
Admission is free, it's open to the public, and your exhibit will be on display actually before you even get here. It starts September 8th. And it goes through October 6th. And you will be here on Friday, September 15th. Is that correct?
That's right. There will be a gallery talk. We decided with the curator, Bill Barrett, that it's going to be a very relaxed kind of talk, actually taking place not in the auditorium, but instead within the space of the exhibition, so that people can gravitate with us from image to image. And we can kind of also do a more question and answer session. I thought this would be more interesting. People can be more open to asking questions.
A more intimate environment, for sure. To yes. say that you've got a diverse artistic background would probably be an understatement. So let me begin with a bit of background, if you don't mind. You were born in Kranj, Slovenia, and you now live between New York City, Vienna, Austria, and Ljubljana, Slovenia. And you're not in some witness protection plane. You actually choose to live in all these places?
It's kind of my way of living since I was born. I mean, I was born into a diplomat's family. So at the age of one, my mom decided to move to Ethiopia, where my dad was. Then I started first grade in Delhi, New Delhi, and began second grade in Washington, D.C., then New York. And I've been traveling my whole life, so in a way, I like to also keep one foot in Europe, where I've worked mostly, and the other foot in New York, where I feel also very much at home. But of course, naturally, my blood home is in Slovenia, where my family is. And it's also where the lab, for in terms of photography, is situated, where I work. And I like to work with that lab, with that team of people, because they're a small lab and they know me for a long time. And they really also dare to approach new things and my new ideas, which are sometimes not very customated ideas. So I kind of, have this triangle formed.
Well, it's an interesting lifestyle you have. You graduated from Webster University of Vienna, Austria in 2005 with a BA cum laude, and your studies included psychology, visual arts, and you also completed an individual study of script writing and studied photography at Webster University.
Yes, that's correct. In my family, no one is an artist, so there was always kind of this idea or pressure that, you know, you have to have a real education or a real job. Not that art isn't a real job or education, far from that. But I was always interested in psychology, and that's also why I chose Webster, actually, because it enabled me to, you know, really focus on two studies. So I completed the psychology and then did the MFA later in visual arts. And I'm very happy I had the experience to be able to combine both, because I think having gone to solely to an art school, for me, would not have been as fulfilling as having gone to this humanities university, where I got to really work also very vigorously in photography with Hervé Massard and script writing. I'm very thankful for that experience.
Apparently you did your homework very well here, as well as other places, because your background includes writing books, screenplay, directing, photography, music videos, performance, film, documentaries, poetry, working with sound, and art projects. I'm exhausted. That's a lot on your plate.
Yeah, that's what I love about art. I mean, I think it's the one fear that like enables us to really look at life without boundaries, because art is all about pushing boundaries or setting new boundaries. And I think the media that you choose is just your tool, even though, of course, it does influence a lot what the artwork is like and how people perceive it. But I think it's the idea that leads the whole artwork or the project, and working with different media is like I'm exploring different worlds, and I like to cross over. And maybe also because I came from the world of dance when I was little. Till age 19 was in classical ballet, and there it's like the world of theater where you have, you know, you have sound, you have movement, you have lights, you have costumes. Everything is like one whole thing that functions together in unison. And I guess I searched for that somehow, and that's why I skip and bounce from one medium to the other, depending on where the exhibition is, what the project is, what fits best, what feels to me that fits best, I would say.
At what point does it occur to you that this diverse path is calling to you, and you don't want to just focus in photography, or you don't want to focus in just theater, that there are all these mediums? At what point in your life does this occur to you that that's your calling?
Honestly, when I was very like young, I really wanted to be a dancer. I never thought I'm going to leave dance and work in visual arts, even though I always loved to create things with my hands, like drawings or kind of sculptures or collages or presents, you know, when I was really little from my parents. And then I delved into photography, and I loved the darkroom and the aspect of, you know, trying to make a photo more like a painting. And I never imagined that I will work in digital photography and color, but then I did a whole series of digital and color photography. So I think it's like you work in one medium and you kind of follow an idea that begins somewhere inside, for me, inside my body. It's a feeling, like it's an urge, a wish to explore something, to learn, to be affected by this exploration, to grow. And then when that's done, it's like a space for something new. It's a curiosity of life that leads me, I would say. It's not like pre-planned, now I'm going to do this and that. I didn't imagine that. Like I said, when I was doing photography, I thought I'm going to stay just in analog black and white photography. It went into a different way, which doesn't mean I think it's also okay. Some people just really focus in one medium, and I really admire and respect those people. I guess it has to do something with personality maybe also.
Well, sure, and passion, of course, plays a huge role. Mm-hmm. And apparently you have passion for a lot of different ways to express yourself creatively. And these things manifest themselves, and sometimes it's beyond your own control. It's just part of your DNA.
That's a good way to put it.
On your website, you wrote a statement about the versatility of your background that says, if you don't mind me quoting you, "The span of my artistic practice, reaching from photography and video to installation and further on through performance to writing, may appear to be very broad. However, using various media seems indispensable to me." Was this thought process instinctive, or did it take time to realize that that canvas that you had in front of you was the various medias that you had or that you use?
Looking back, because I guess when we write art statements or speak about ourselves, we kind of have to focus and, you know, relate, look into the future and look into the past and kind of try to get a bird's eye, longitudinal bird's eye point of view about ourselves and our life. And then we realize like, oh, I've been doing this and this and that, and why really? And that's how that sentence came about. I mean, that I realized I had this urge inside me that I had to fill. Like at the moment, I'm focusing a lot on performance art, and it's like this urge I had that started about 2 years ago. Like I really want to explore and move my installations and photography into performance. And so the focus shifted into this medium. In that way, it's indispensable. Like they're tools. Mediums are different medias for me are tools, which, you know, we can never have too many tools in any kind of type of work. It's the tools that and how we use them that produce the work. And if we limit ourselves just to one tool, that's okay. But if we feel limited, then that's not okay. I would feel limited just using one tool, for example.
that speaks a lot to your passions. What would you say drives you to do work at this level?
There's a kind of like sequence to them that, you know, I'm not working at the same time in all of them. Like I was really, when I was doing the black and white photography, the Gray Matter Language of Shadow series, which I will show a portion of also at the May Gallery on one of the walls, I was that time like completely obsessed and immersed just into the world of shadows, not even like the source. I wanted to just focus on the shadow and developing by myself in the dark room. I guess now it seems like, you know, I have a large portion of work from that period, and I can take it, that work, and use even that work as a tool to build up into like another work, which is including that medium and like a new medium of sound, let's say, a movement. So there was like a sequence to it. Otherwise, I think I'd go crazy and the work wouldn't also probably have a quality, you know, if it was all at the same time and at once, because we do need to focus our attention. So I think it's also the aspect of time, yeah, and having invested different parts of my artistic growth into different mediums and now looking back and being able to utilize those works and create like something new.
You're listening to Webster Voices, and we're speaking with Webster University alumna Ava Patrich. Another quote from your site states that when moving from one cultural space to another, which has been your way since you can remember, you spontaneously reached for the media at hand to be able to communicate and be understood. Your motivation behind the use of the media now is to create space. Can you explain to me what you mean by creating space?
So space in terms of actual space, like I am very much inspired by the space around me. So the room, how will I set up my work? How will I install it? But I don't think space exists just in terms of, you know, like just the room around you. Our body is a space for our emotions. We live, the world lives inside. It's like a never-ending equation of what space is. And I think actual space also very much relates to mental space, and here comes in psychology, like your attitude and how you feel often really influences what you actually see in physical space, and that really fascinates me. So this kind of communication between the inside, outside, internal, external world that we all have, and utilizing art to materialize that and show the bridge between it is, for me, fascinating, between these two spaces. The internal spaces, I mean, where we have all our ideas and, you know, where all, like, great discoveries of entrepreneurs are made, and how to bring them in the outside space, how to materialize them, that's another question. I think I was referring mostly to that and how it really starts with the mind, the beautiful mind, the idea, the vision, and bringing that out, materializing it, since our world is a material world. We exist in physical bodies and physical objects. But nevertheless, this fascination, you know, it's the idea that's first, and that's immaterial. And so different qualities of space. There's the actual space. But then there's also the space of our mind, which is endless, like the universe, our imagination. Is there a limit to imagination? No, I don't think there is. But I think art has a possibility to approach and speak about these kind of themes and things, and it communicates with all people. I mean, there's even these discoveries being made that when the person is experiencing art, at least as much as we're able to, you know, look at our brain with our not very sophisticated tools, it's activating a certain part that is activated only when experiencing art. So it must be something also in terms of the mental space that experiencing artwork creates for us.
With so many areas of interest that you have, how do you channel your focus into a particular area? When does the little voice in your head say, okay, I need to go in this direction or that direction? Are there things that motivate you, or is this just spontaneous combustion that happens and you're just drawn to do something?
No, it's a combination of both. Like a lot of discipline, which I think I have to thank my dance education. Ballet, classical ballet, is a lot about discipline. So yeah, there, I definitely have a big structure, or try to keep a structure to my life. But at the same time, I have like, I'm very, you know, and for an artist, I think it's important to follow this like urge of the moment, or like you want to do this, you feel you want to do it because, or you explore this idea, or you want to take, when you're walking, you want to turn into this alley because you feel there's something there you need to see. It's important to do that, to follow that. But if you have no order, I mean, then it's difficult to actually finalize something, to bring an idea to an end, to a materialization. So I kind of maybe also separate my year, not very firmly, but like into different areas. So when I go back to Slovenia or Vienna, I really focus on studio work, whereas in New York, it's more about making connections and looking at different artwork. I'm focusing more on maybe the media, video, and sound, so that when I'm in my studio in Vienna, I can really dwell and focus into the studio work.
So environment has something to do with where your mind goes.
Exactly. A very good point. It's the environment, again, the external space. I think it has a big influence also, I mean, on us humans. And again, then comes this aspect, nature, nurture, I think. Can explain well this idea about internal, how we are, and external, and then how you let both of those affect you and on the work, in the work that you create as an artist.
It's interesting that you're using your psychology background to kind of guide you through your artistic background as well, too.
Always. I mean, as much as I try to shut it out, honestly, it's always there. It always comes in the forefront. And it's funny because a lot of my art projects are also, most of them actually are, you know, combining medicine. Like I work with the transplantation section in Vienna's General Hospital, or ESA, European Space Agency. And all those projects are kind of investigating, like, how are the surgeons feeling and trying to feel and then visualize this through the works I create in that space of the operating room or the different research spaces. So it's funny, psychology always creeps in, and I think it's because it's exploring or defining this internal space that we have, our mind, which we don't know much about, but definitely there's, I think, art, again, has a lot to do with it.
You have over 40 solo exhibitions and over 70 group exhibitions around the world. You've written books, and you've won so many awards that time here doesn't even allow us to cover them all. You're a pretty driven person, and there probably isn't much free time for you. So my question is it hard to keep up with yourself?
I don't know. I mean, I love creating. I honestly, if I don't have things to do or something, I'll get even a bit nervous. So I'm constantly interested in things, and things I have like in a list in my head, or I don't know, heart, that I want to realize. So yeah, I wish there was more time to experience everything in this life, and there's just not enough time.
Well, can you walk away and just relax and not think about a next project? Do you have downtime?
I guess it comes closest to that when I'm ending a project. I'm like, okay, I'm like, now I did this, I got it out of my system. But already there's a new idea, you know, on a standby. So for that little moment when I'm approaching the end, because when I'm at the end already, I have to do that new thing. When I'm approaching the end, then it's like, or for me, it usually starts more with like a kind of feeling. When I get the idea, how I will manifest or materialize the idea, so a concept, when I get the concept down and I feel good with it, that's also when I kind of relax the most, because I feel like, okay, I have that, that's what I need, now I just need to, you know, materialize it with my hands or in whichever way, and it's going to work, and my duty is done.
What is the process for being invited to exhibit your work where it is exhibited, because it is everywhere? How does that happen?
Very differently. I mean, it's a mixture like of open calls. Like this was just a show that opened on Friday in Providence. A creator friend of mine, she knows I'm very much interested in medicine and art. She forwarded me an open call and I applied and got accepted. Or, for example, people, directors of museums or galleries or creators know my work and they invite me to submit a proposal, or they know a specific work of mine and want it in their show. Or, for example, if I'm venturing on completely more new ground, like performance, I'll myself explore, you know, the different venues, or completely, like, non-artistic spaces, which I love to do, like, some public spaces I exhibited, like, in the Bergdorf Goodman windows. That was my wish to bring an installation that was in Buenos Aires to a public space in New York City. So I myself, you know, went and thought who is responsible for the place and tried to realize the exhibition. So it's a mixture. There is no one method or way. And a lot of times you write a lot of proposals and then you don't get answers or you don't get replies, or you get replies to two things and you have to decide between one or the other because they're both on the same night, or the openings, you have two openings and they're on the same night. It's a mixture, and I think that's the nice part about art, but also the difficult part in terms of how you handle things. You have to be a strong character. You have to also know how to live through, like, your disappointments.
There's sort of some salesmanship involved in this as well, I'm hearing.
A lot. I mean, how to say, unfortunately, yeah. Because you want to live from your art, and also there are so many artists out there, you know, competition is high, and who best other than yourself to represent your art? But at the same time, it's hard also, because I think a lot of people have an attitude like, oh, artists should never really, you know, sell their work, or art should not be, like, connected with sales, but how are you going to survive as an artist also? And, you know, people aren't going to come and knock on your door, show me your art.
So, well, there's that old adage of starving artists, and everybody sees all artists as starving. And, well, while some are, some aren't. And you're right. If you're doing this as a way to create not only art but a living, of course you're going to try to sell your products.
Or, I mean, like, for example, last project I did was set design for choreographer Janice Brenner here in New York City. And I mean, she commissioned me for the project, so I was working for her, but still, it was a very creative project. I mean, and it was open to me different avenues of work and meeting different people. So I think you have to have a passion that leads you, like in every profession, you know, the people who have a passion for their work and love, they will succeed and feel good in it. Yeah, sales and art, I don't know. I feel like you have to be two people in one. And I definitely enjoy much more the art part, not the sales part. It's also very hard to, like, how much, you know, that's what galleries are for. But I think more and more artists have to do a lot of the work that the galleries do.
The truth is that most of the creative people I've worked with, and I include myself, are much more comfortable at the creative aspects and the imagination than they are at the business aspect of
Definitely.
What they have to do.
I would agree.
When you begin a project, whatever it is and whatever medium it is, do you consider who you want to reach first, or does it come from your mind and soul first, and then you say, hopefully these kind of people will see what I'm trying to do?
No, for me it's always been, I hope that my work reaches all people, because I think every person is like an artist, you know. To some degree, they just don't choose it as a profession because it requires dedication, or I think all people need and can appreciate art, and on some level, an artwork speaks to all people, so I hope mine speaks to all people. Of course, if there's like a very particular location, let's say at a hospital or something, where I would want to do an intervention of an installation, I would think, you know, what would fit here well? Like, what people are usually coming in worried, in a hurry, like upset and distraught. I'd want to offer them something more positive, like. In that way, I think about them, like, you know, what people who, but in general, I want people to be touched innerly by my work, to have something, like, move inside them. Otherwise, why create something if it's just going to be another thing filling our already way too filled physical world?
Is there anything that you haven't done that you'd like to do artistically or medium-wise that you haven't discovered yet? Are there things out there that you've got on your bucket list that you haven't achieved yet?
Oh, definitely. An endless one, and I'm sure I won't be able to achieve them all. One of them, for example, a long list, like a wish has always been a film, to like a feature film or a story, to realize that. Because in a way it combines, you know, it's a story, then you have light, you have photography, like all the mediums, you have poetry. Yeah, that would be like the one thing I would say, okay, now it's enough, now I can relax no more. I'm happy with it.
I don't see that happening in your life, just sitting down and relaxing. But the thing is that you're doing what you love, you're a creative person, you're passionate. The rewards of being recognized are great, but I'm sure that even if there weren't anything like that, you just have to do what you do.
Yeah, I think the people who know me well would agree with that. But I wouldn't necessarily say it's stubborn. It's like
driven.
I feel like I don't have a choice. Like
It's called being driven. And I get that.
Right?
Yeah. Well, is there anything that we haven't discussed that you'd like to talk about?
Maybe just that it's really interesting for me to do this show at the May Gallery because it's bringing me back, in a way, I would say, like home in the artistic practice, because I get to really, you know, just work in the pure medium just of photography. And I miss that because I think there's really a beauty in the image, which is so prevalent in the medium of photography, and this interplay of time. You know, photography kind of stops time, and even more so nowadays we live in this day and age where photography, I don't know, it's kind of wobbly because everyone can make photos, and, you know, with phones, anytime, any moment. And we're becoming really, like, even our language, I think, Instagram, everything is all becoming pictures, images. We're saturated with it. So it's a challenge to make a good photo show, I think. And I hope that I'm going to be able to make a show that has some sense of poetry in it and that people will enjoy it. So it's a good experience for me.
And we are looking forward to see your work and visit with you when you come to St. Louis. Ava, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. You're a fascinating person. If you'd like to learn more about Ava and see some of her many projects, can we give them a website for them to visit to see some of your work?
Yes, I have to apologize. So the website is under construction. That's my Achilles heel, which I just can't get to. I do have a website. It says under construction. You can see my very, like, earlier work. But honestly, it's better to maybe type my name in into the browser, and more current, actually, works will pop up.
Why don't you spell your name out for people so that they can track you down?
My name is, I was blessed or cursed with the name Ava. It's E like Emily, V like Valentine, A like Apple. And Petrich, which is P like Peter, E like Emily, T like Tom, R like Robert, I like Isabel, E like Cat.
Okay, so if you want to see some more of Ava's work, you can either go in that direction, or better yet, you are invited to see some of Ava's work and meet her on Friday, September 15th. Right here at Webster University at 3 p.m., followed by a reception at the May Gallery from 5 to 7 p.m. The May Gallery is located in the Spierdrup Building, and that's the School of Communications. Admission is free, it's open to the public, and we invite you to attend and find out more about Ava, just like I did. We look forward to meeting you, Ava, and I can't thank you enough for taking some time to share some experiences with us today.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. The pleasure is likewise.
With special thanks to Webster alumna and artist Ava Petrich, this has been Webster Voices, produced through the facilities of Webster University's School of Communications. Webster Voices is a service of Webster University, the global university.